Good afternoon, Brett. Speak at the Feast of Tabernacles in Myrtle Beach, but got a cold and wasn't able to speak, unfortunately. But I see no reason why you should not suffer listening to my sermon here about Ecclesiastes. Well, cheer up, brothers and sisters. This is a most encouraging book, and I trust it will help you to rejoice. The book of Ecclesiastes is one of the poetic books of the Bible, and was actually read, it's read by the Jews annually during the Feast of Tabernacles. But why? There is a reason. Tradition has it that the book of Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon, who wrote the Song of Songs in his youth, Proverbs in his middle age, and Ecclesiastes in his elder years. And you, if you look at the book, there's a lot of mention of a word, the word vanity. But that vanity is not an accurate translation of the Hebrew, which is hevel, H-E-V-E-L. But it doesn't mean vanity as pride, as you say pride, but it means vapor or smoke. It really means nothing. Nothing is permanent. Vaporizes, then vanishes. It is temporary. It does not last long. Has no substance. This time of the year, we're seeing fog in the mornings. It rises and disappears. The book of Ecclesiastes contains many gems of wisdom. A gem is a jewel or precious stone that is usually quite valuable and quite beautiful. And I'm going to highlight several gems of wisdom from the book of Ecclesiastes for you today. Firstly, King Solomon had words of wisdom for youth in his day and for our youth today. And in chapter 12, verse 1, Solomon says, "Remember your Creator in the days of your youth." His advice is to start thinking long term when you are young. I know when I went to London, I lived in a two-room flat apartment for a while, and then I shared a house with three other guys, and I realized after a while that living in a house, paying rent every month, was a waste of time long term, because you never get any benefit from rent, just the temporary benefit of being able to live in the place. So eventually I decided to leave London, because there was no way I could afford to buy a house in London. So I left London and I went back to Lancashire and bought a house. It was a trying time in the 80s when the mortgage rate changed every month. Fortunately, it was going down at the time when I bought my house, but they didn't have a fixed mortgage. It changed every month according to the interest rates. And the interest rates had been up to 20%. So anyway, I bought that house and struggled for a while paying for it. And eventually I sold that house and it went into the house we have now. So it was a good benefit long term. So also think ahead. You need to think ahead, make plans, work hard. Don't neglect to invest your time with God, as well as investing your money in things like TFSAs for savings. Invest your time in your Creator God, His church, and His work in the world. What you do in youth does have long-term consequences. Sometimes the injuries that we get in the youth come back to plague us later on. I fell off a bicycle when I was at college in 18 or 19, and it affected my knee, and it's still a bit painful now. Come back to haunt me. Here is gem number two. Realize that everything in this life is temporary. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 10 to 11 says, Solomon looked at all his wealth and all his buildings and all his efforts, because Solomon had the opportunity to do whatever he wanted. There was no government, no regulations, nothing to stop him building or acquiring resources. Men singers, women singers, he built palaces, he built all sorts of things. But he realized that it wasn't going to last. He says, "And whatsoever mine eyes desired, I kept not from them. I withheld not my heart from any joy, for my heart rejoiced in all my labor, and this was my portion in my labor." He enjoyed building. "Then I looked at on all the works that my hands had wrought, and on the labor that I had labored to do, and behold, it was vanity." It's a smoke, vapor, and a vexation of spirit, and there was no profit under the sun. He was looking long time, long term. You remember that the Israelites saved their tithes, second tithe for the feast, and they spent most of it at the Feast of Tabernacles. They would have spent 10% of their annual income in just over a week. So they must have felt wealthy at the Feast of Tabernacles, as we do when we save our second tithe and come to the feast. You know, wealthy and poverty is a relative term. You realize that the people who are poor today are richer than 90% of the people in the Roman Empire in terms of material wealth. So wealth and poverty is what your standard is, and not a fixed standard. We rejoice and enjoy physical blessings at the feast. We share our sisters and our brothers. But then he realized it was all fruitless and temporary. There was no long-term permanent satisfaction or happiness in the physical accomplishments of this life, because Solomon knew that death was coming. And what would happen to all his works when he was gone? Well, we know what happened with his son and Jeroboam. And if you go to Jerusalem, you may look in vain for all the construction and all the building that Solomon did. There is a place there called a pool called Solomon's Pool. But it's not actually Solomon's pool. It's Suleiman the Magnificent, which was built in the 16th century by an Ottoman ruler. But all Solomon's work is gone. Nothing left. Says Ecclesiastes 1 verse 3, Solomon said, "What profit has a man in all his labor which he takes under the sun?" Now he uses this phrase "under the sun" quite a bit in Ecclesiastes. And what it means is describing the present world we live in, the present reality. But he knew that physical life always ends in death. It's a cycle. Solomon talks about the weather cycle, which is came to understand the weather cycle, which is hundreds of miles across, where it rains, the rains go into the sea, the water evaporates to the sea and then goes back into the clouds and comes back at rain. Endless cycle. And he looked at life and the lives that people live, and he saw we were in a cycle. We're all born, most of us grow up, some of us marry, some have children. Many of us see old age, but we all pass through the portals of death. It's the cycle repeats year after year, generation after generation. The year is coming to an end. We've seen a cycle of this year. Everything is dying, ready for the winter. And we know for sure that come the spring, new life will come back and we'll be into another cycle. It's been this way since the beginning of time, since creation. He Here's gem number three. We cannot change this world at this time. Read in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. As I say, Solomon was observing this life. His focus was on this life in this book. Oh, it's in there somewhere. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 1. Then I returned and considered all the oppression that is done under the sun. And look, the tears of the oppressed, but they have no comforter. On the side of their oppressors there is power, but they have no comforter. Now, would we not agree that this is the way the world is? But we know why. In Ephesians 6, verse 12, we learn that this world is ruled by Satan. It says in Ephesians 6, verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." And again in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, "In whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them." So are we surprised? Are we surprised by the fact that this world is full of injustices and evil, and evil triumphs? Remember, there was a place in Psalms where David bemoans the fact that nothing seems to go well for the righteous, and that the evil seems to be, evil men seem to prosper and benefit. I can't remember that psalm, but it's in there somewhere. But don't despair, brethren, because we are different from most of this world. We have God's Spirit and God with us, because God, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 10 verse 13, no temptation has taken you except that which is as common to man. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above what you are able, but with a temptation will also make the way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. So we are not totally adrift in this world as Christians. It says in Job, man was born to trouble as the sparks fly upwards. But our suffering, our trials, our difficulties are modified because God is in charge of our lives. But we are living in a world we cannot change. We have to accept that for our sanity. We can and should resist evil in our personal lives, where we can control what happens, and in our churches, but we cannot and are not meant to change this world at this time. We are called to preach the gospel, remember? It says in Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the Father, name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end." Remember Christ, when he was on earth, he didn't start a great organization called Save the Children, or some other organization to save the poor and needy. He preached the gospel, he did his work, he healed the people that he was able to heal, that were around him, but he didn't go off trying to sort out this world. The gospel is our focus. We do that by our way of life and by being a witness. when the opportunity arises. That's 1 Peter 3 verse 15. 1 Peter 3 verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. The key word is every man who asks you. Not going out preaching to everyone. We preach the word of God by our lives and sometimes by our words. As it says in Ecclesiastes 3 verse 7, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. There is a time to be silent and a time to speak. Here is gem number 4. Enjoy your life and your work. In Ecclesiastes 2:24 and 26, it says, doing a good job, leading lives of integrity, and enjoying what we can in our lives is very good. It says, there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink, that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. This also I saw, that it was from the hand of God. For God gives to man that is good in his sight, wisdom and knowledge and joy. But to the sinner he gives travail together and heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This also is wind, vapor, and vexation of spirit. I know the benefits of enjoying what you do. Most of us work for a job or have worked, and I remember jobs I really enjoyed and jobs I didn't enjoy. I used to work for customs and excise in the UK, and one of the posts I got sent to was being in charge of the betting, control of betting in the UK. We were in headquarters writing the rules and prosecuting people who broke the law. And that was a job I really hated, because I don't bet, I've never gambled, and it was a real trial. But however, working in the whiskey warehouse was quite a different matter. Making whiskey and bottling wine and spirits, that was a really interesting job. So I've known good jobs and I've known bad jobs, and you get a lot of benefit, temporary benefit, from doing a good job in whatever you do. Here is gem number 5. It's good to have a spouse and family, and to have good friends. Ecclesiastes 4 verse 9 to 10, and also 9, chapter 9 verse 7 to 10. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falls, for he hath not another to help him up. Go thy way and eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepts your work. Let your garments be always white, and let your head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom you love all the days of your vanity, vapor, which he has given you under the sun, and all the days of your vanity. For that is your portion in this life and in your labor, which you take under the sun. Whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave where you're going. So it's of great benefit to have a family, and realize it's only temporary. Children grow up and leave home. Everything changes gradually, but enjoy it while you can. Great benefit. And you remember in Genesis 2 verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good for the man that man should be alone. I will make him a helpmeet for him. And for those of us who are not married, who are single. God's church provides us with friendship and opportunities to serve. We are not alone in God's church. This was Christ's promise in Mark 10, verse 29 to 30. And Jesus answered and said, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life." We really appreciate that at the Feast of Tabernacles, when we meet a lot of people and we make friends. We make a lot of friends, probably more friends than most of your neighbours have. And I know I've been to a number of feast sites around the world, and it's a good place to be, because you know you're among friends wherever you are, whether you're in Israel or France or USA or Canada. Because a lot of people who are strangers come as strangers and leave as friends. Gem number 6. The wisdom of God is a great benefit to humans in this life. Wisdom is good for an inheritance. It says Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11 to 12. Ecclesiastes 7, verse 11 to 12. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, and by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom gives life to them that have it. 'Tis good to exercise wisdom from both God's word and personal experience. Proverbs is an excellent book on how to live this life and manage this life without falling into traps and being tripped up. It's a good book to study. Finally, gem number 7. The wisdom of Ecclesiastes is expressed in poetic style. The words are not only true but beautiful. Listen to this well-known section from chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under the sun. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to uproot. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to bear down, and a time to build. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to search, and a time to give up. A time to keep, and a time to throw away. A time to tear, and a time to mend. A time to be silent, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time for war, and a time for peace. It's all about doing the right thing at the right time. And in conclusion, brethren, Hebrews 11, verse 13 to 16 reminds us that ultimately our focus should not be on this physical life. We look beyond this physical life. We look to God's kingdom. And it says in Hebrews 11, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises." He's talking about Abraham, Isaac, all the people in the Old Testament. "But having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly, where God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. I hope and pray that you have appreciated these messages and poetry and these seven gems from the Book of Ecclesiastes written by King Solomon. Let's all remember to give God glory and enjoy the experiences of life as we look forward to the future kingdom. That is when the world will be changed. Have patience, brethren. That time is coming.